Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Tuesday on this station, you heard John Fanta earlier this hour, and of course now you hear Albert Breer. You can usually hear him 5:20s on Tuesday nights right here on Afternoon Drive, and he joins us now on the Fan Hotline to talk all the latest of the Cleveland Browns. Albert, welcome to the show, bud.
Hey guys, what's up?
Well, I'd like to get you on the record. Two starts in. How are we feeling about Shador?
I think he's looked comfortable. It hasn't looked too big for him. I still think we just don't know enough, to really move too far off whatever position you were on initially. So if you're thrilled to see him in there, I'm sure you want to see more. If you had serious questions on him, you want to see more. I don't know that he's really dispelled what his reputation was as a player, and the flaws that are in his game. But he also hasn't, reinforced any criticism there's been of him either. It's just sort of, I think he is what he is. I don't feel we've seen enough to really know that he's anything more than a fifth-round pick, who's playing out the string for a bad team. And again, we'll see if he gets more opportunities to show more than that.
What'd you make of Schefter over the weekend saying, if he plays good, he's got a long runway, and all these other quotes from, I would imagine people inside the building, to then have Stefanski asked about what the status is, and it's like, well, he's going to have he'll have this next week, and then when followed up, hey, is he going to have anything more than next week? He refused to answer. Did you make anything out of that?
Yeah, I love Adam, but isn't that obvious? I don't know. I saw that headline, and my first thought was, if he plays well, he's going to keep playing. Isn't that everybody in the NFL? I don't know. It wasn't he has a chance to be the quarterback in 2026. It was just, if he plays well, he'll keep playing. If he keeps playing well, he'll play the rest of the year. I think that's what we all assumed it would be, right? It's not like the Browns have any other option sitting behind, door number two, where it's we have to see this. You might, and I've laid out the case for wanting to see Deshaun Watson and getting a chance to see what he has, coming off the Achilles. And, I think the Browns might want to do that at some point, but it's not there's something that's going to turn your season around, because it's already gone for the most part if you move off of Shador. So, if he keeps playing well, he's going to stay in there. I don't know. I felt like that was kind of self-explanatory.
Albert, I know Jimmy Haslam back at the owners' meetings in April said he's got belief in these guys. They all took it on the chin for the Deshaun thing. And obviously now they're 3-9. We got 5 games to go here with 5 weeks to go. 5 games left for this season and 5 weeks to go in Berea. Is everything still copacetic amongst the thought partners in Berea?
Yeah, as far as I know, it is. Now, I think how the rest of the season plays out, it'd be stupid to sit here on December 2nd saying, what happens the rest of the year is irrelevant. It can't be, if the team were out on the coaching staff over the last couple of weeks of the season or it looked really bad, it'd be naive to think public sentiment couldn't play into this to some degree as well, and I understand that's not the best place. I've said this to you guys a few times over the last couple of years. I really believe that Jimmy Haslam and his family worked really hard to try to figure out, like, what they wanted their structure, their football structure to look like. And I think, like, with Stefanski and Barry, they sort of have what they want. You know what I mean? Just as far as how you have things set up and the workflow and the reporting structure and all that different stuff. And that's why I think they're going to be a little more reluctant to just throw that out, you know? So I think they like the guys in charge. They like the structure they have. And they understand that this was, you know, I think a rebuilding year from the very beginning, you know, going back to the way they operated during draft weekend. And so what does it take to fire somebody in that sort of spot where you like the structure, you like the people, and you've acknowledged it's a rebuilding year? I think it would take, like, it really looking like, man, there's no light at the end of the tunnel at the end of the year.
I want to know if this even crossed your desk and got on your radar or not, because we made a big deal for the past 48 hours or so about Jerry Jeudy and Shedeur Sanders, yeah, and that interaction on the sidelines. Okay, you did. I didn't know. Sometimes we do these things in a local level, and you're like, well, we really talked about that a ton, but nationally it was just a blip almost. What did you make of that interaction?
Man, I don't know. I think you're seeing, like, to some degree, some of why Jerry Judy's fallen out of favor in other places. You know, I don't know. I mean, like, I know, like, Sean Payton, when he got to Denver, had a very defined vision for what he wanted in players. And, you know, that doesn't mean you can't start to take risks. But when you're on the ground level, you really want, like, a high majority of your locker room to fit what you're looking to build, you know. And Jerry Jeudy very clearly did not fit into that, which is why, and I think I said this to you guys last week, like, why Courtland Sutton, for example, gets to stick around, but Jerry Jeudy doesn't. And so, you know, I think that you're sort of seeing part of that. There's always been talent there. There's a reason why he went in the first round. He's a great, great player in college. But, you know, there's also a reason why he's never been able to manifest his talent in the NFL. And, you know, I think all of these things sort of play into that. And so it'll be interesting to see where this goes from here. It's always a weird spot for a rookie quarterback to be in when you're dealing with these sorts of things in your first year.
Albert, I ranted about the Wyatt Teller situation earlier this hour. There's a little inside baseball, so I'll try and catch you up. They juggled Wyatt Teller and Tevin Jenkins at right guard on Sunday in the loss. Stefanski came out after the game and said it was because Wyatt is nursing an injury. Wyatt came out and said it was performance related, and then Stefanski in his post game said Wyatt's not going to be out there against Tennessee on Sunday, which is very rare he ever calls out ahead that anybody's out for the next week unless it's a season ender, you know, multiple week injury. I'm just curious if all the details that I've shared sound as, I'll say, odd to you as they have to Jonathan and I.
So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I it's not the first time hearing it, right? So he alternated with Tevin Jenkins last week. He said it was injury related, Kevin said it was injury related. Then the reporters went to Wyatt. Wyatt said it was performance related, mm-hmm. And now Kevin's saying he's not playing at the Titans.
Yes,
correct.
Right,
you got
that
it.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, if it was another player other than Wyatt Teller, I would think it was disciplinary, you know. A guy who is, you know, given a lot to the franchise, is a veteran player. Like, I would think, like, this is a, like, you're making us all look like idiots. So, like, we're going to sit you down this week type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I just have a hard time. I don't know. That's a weird one because I don't feel like Wyatt's that type of guy, right?
We felt the same way.
Yeah. And what makes it even weirder, Albert, is that if it was performance related, your eyeballs told you he was playing a really good game, and then PFF had him as the number one graded offensive player on their sheet this week.
I mean, it could also be like, I mean, look, like sometimes teams protect their players, and, you know, part of protecting your players is when they're hurt, you say they're hurt, so people don't think that they're. And I, you know, maybe there's some sort of wires crossed there where Wyatt had thought, like, I better not talk about my injury. I don't want to talk about my injury. Again, I need to know a little bit more about Wyatt's history talking about injuries in general. But yeah, I mean, that sounds like a really weird one. But I guess this year is sort of par for the course up there, right?
Sounds about right.
Exactly. It something doesn't smell right. But anyway, Albert, another again inside baseball type story.
The story of the 2025 Cleveland Browns. Something doesn't smell right.
just how it is. These things just don't stop. All right, Juwan Jennings. Obviously, another situation this week with him. 2 weeks in a row now, and then Shelby Harris called him a hoe.
Yeah. Yeah, and I personally don't know what Juwan Jennings did out there. I've been meaning to look into this a little bit more, but, I mean, whatever he said had to be bad because, like, Juwan Jennings isn't a rookie. You know what I mean? Like, Juwan Jennings has a reputation for being a really tough, hard-nosed player. I know he's one of, like, Kyle Shanahan's favorite players out there, and he's, I think, what, 5 years into the league now? So this is not, like, this isn't some guy that, like, just came into the league and is mouthing off and now needs to be put in his place. It's definitely an interesting situation.
Albert, what's worse, getting punched in the beanbag or being called a hoe?
Oh, I mean, at my age, I'd rather be called a hoe. I don't care if somebody calls me a hoe.
I know.
100%. Yeah. Yeah,
I know. 100%. I kind of feel like Shelby Harris should have found a better word for it.
It's really not even that much of an insult.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's one of the things where there's like inequities between girls and guys. I mean, there was a point in my life where like being called a hoe would actually be a compliment, right?
Right. You know?
I mean, you were such a hoe.
I mean, you're such a hoe.
Why,
you're like,
oh, thank you, Albert.
You've noticed what I've done in the streets. Thank you.
Guilty as charged, yeah.
So I do want to ask you about Jackson Dart. He gets the third concussion a couple weeks ago. The team sits him down for a couple weeks. They spend all that time telling Jackson, yeah, hey, protect yourself. He goes out on Monday Night Football and multiple times puts himself pretty ridiculously in the line of fire. Is this a coachable thing? Like, what's going on with Jackson Dart that he just doesn't seem to understand the difference between playing hard and, you know, putting yourself out there?
Yeah, I think that there's like a fine line that the guys have to walk. And I think, you know, you see more and more quarterbacks who play this way coming into the league really over, you know, the last 10 to 15 years. And look, like the guy on the other side, Drake May, went through it last year where he had a couple concussions. And, like, he's had to kind of tone down some of that stuff, you know, going back over the years. Like, some guys have a sense for things around them. Other guys don't. Like, Robert Griffin was one where it was almost like, dude, like, how did you not see that guy coming? You know what I mean? Like, and put himself in the line of fire and got hurt a lot. Like, that's not necessarily his fault. Like, that's just kind of an instinctive thing. Sometimes guys will tell you that can't really be taught. Like, there's just this spatial awareness that some guys have and that other guys don't. So I'd say, like, in a case like this, the coaches, I'm sure, are going to be all over Jackson despite his denial after the game on it, and are really going to try to, like, coach him hard on it because it is such an important thing, and it isn't something that should just be dismissed. But you also don't want to take all of it away from him either. And, you know, I've made this point a lot, like, with some of these quarterbacks. And it's like, at some point, like, you do have to stop being, like, the sort of caretaker of a quarterback's health. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, he does – there is an element of this that helps a young quarterback develop and grow in that, like, if they got to account for you as a runner, it's gonna change the math for the defense. The defense might have to take somebody away out of coverage to deal with you, or they might have to play zone instead of playing man. And so it'll simplify things on you. It just changes the whole dynamic on defense. Plus, when a guy runs for one, if you're playing good defense, the guy runs for, you know, if one runs to convert like a third and five, that can really be a back-breaking thing. So there are lots of good things about your quarterback playing that way. But I'd agree, like, it's a challenge for everybody trying to find that balance. And Jackson's still a rookie. I think he'll learn, but that wasn't good last night coming off a couple of concussions.
Albert, I feel like for a couple years now we've heard the fire Mike Tomlin discussion, but I don't know that I've ever heard the Steelers do fire Tomlin chants. They booed during Renegade. Tomlin's quotes today I thought were also a little weird. Like, asked if he heard the fans saying he has to go. He's like, in general, I agree with them. And then went on a rant about sports being entertainment. Like, it feels like there's more to this story, but the fan base in Pittsburgh is as upset as I think I've ever seen them. Do you agree with that assessment, and how do you see this?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would say, you know, like, they've obviously been, they've never fallen off there with Mike as the coach, right? So, and it is, as much as people poke fun at it now, it is an incredible record. You know, like, having no losing seasons for 18 years is pretty insane. And this would be 19. And so, like, being able to maintain that level of just confidence is not an easy thing to do in the NFL, and he should be applauded for that. However, there is, like, some need to provide some level of some sort of light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, every team's chasing the same thing. Every fan base wants the same thing. And, you know, like, if your team's pretty good but not there yet, you want to know, all right, I'm investing in something that's eventually going to get there. And I think, like, there's this natural point now that is probably creating angst within the fan base, which is, we've got this older team. We went all in on this older roster with, you know, guys like T.J. Watt, who you pay again. You trade for Jalen Ramsey. You bring in Darius Slay. You got Cam Hayward back. And then you bring in Aaron Rodgers. And it doesn't look a whole lot better than it did before. So now, if you're a Steelers fan, you see, like, this window closing, and you assess the last 10 years, and you haven't had a playoff win, and it's like, where exactly is this going now? And I think that that naturally, both internally and externally, brings up those questions, like, is this the guy we want leading us into the next phase of whatever the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be? And so I think that's sort of where everybody in Pittsburgh is, you know? And I wouldn't rule out the idea. I don't think he's going to fire. But I wouldn't rule out the idea that, you know, like, over the next year or two, they sit down and they decide that maybe what's best is for everybody to go their separate ways. Like, I it doesn't need to be acrimonious. It's just, I mean, look, at some point, like, the clock hits zero on your time with the team. And, you know, Andy Reid got to that point. He was actually fired, but Andy Reid got to that point. in Philadelphia, and it wound up being great for everybody, the divorce, which, you know, rarely happens that way. But, like, I think Mike Tomlin and the Steelers could certainly look at their situation and see that sort of ending coming.
Albert, Ohio State got a very nice win on Saturday over Michigan. How are we feeling in the wake of all being right in the universe?
I feel great because, like, I mean, it's not just that it happened. It's how it happened. It was up there. It was in the snow. It was, I mean, about as bad a start as you could possibly imagine. Jordan Marshall, an Ohio kid, rips off that run at the beginning of the game. Then he has a pick on the second series. And I don't know about you guys, but I had that pit in my stomach. It's happening again, you know? And so, like, you don't want to go through that, but it definitely added to it. You know what I mean? Like, that the guys were able to kind of keep their heads through that, force a couple of field goals. And then after that, it was like, I mean, there was never a doubt who the better team was, you know? And it starts snowing, and they protect their logo at the end with us having no intention to plant a flag because we're above that. I mean, every little part of it was awesome. So, and I'm really happy for Ryan Day too, because I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard the stuff, like the crap that he went through last year. Like, as much as I care about Ohio State football and all that, like, hearing some of the stuff that he went through was pretty crappy, you know? And so I'm just happy for him that, like, you know, he was able, it's a great story that he was able to take that, like, really dark day and the dark couple of days to follow, win a national championship, and then go back in there and I mean, I'll put it bluntly, whoop their ass, you know? Just happy for him, I think, first and foremost.
Don't call Michigan a hoe. I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't. Albert, your great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you so much. Albert Breer there, MMQB on the Fan Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about the Browns. I don't know we'll be able to get to it right now in this hour, but as somebody on this station has openly said, Albert said he'd rather be called a hoe than get punched in the ball bag. Somebody on the station is saying otherwise. We'll get to the bottom of it in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. What he's seen, what he feels about Shador, two starts in. We do have the lead coming up in just about 30 minutes here. But, I mean, I think that's fair. The only part that I didn't like was to see he's anything more than a second rounder. Like,
yeah.
Anything more than a fifth rounder.
Yeah, well, clearly he's better than a fifth rounder.
Because, like, I watched Dylan Gabriel for five starts, right? Looking for evidence, or was it six starts? I don't know. Times a flat.
It was into six. It was five and a half. So, I guess you want to. But six starts.
I spent the whole time looking for why was he a third round pick. I didn't have a single or like one thing to disprove what I thought about him coming into the season, or prove like any of the good things, like the supercomputer stuff.
Yeah.
And in five and a half games, I didn't see it. I didn't see any of the positives that people thought about him. I only saw the negatives I thought. With Shador through two games, like, the thing that people, I think, don't realize about Shador is he's got a better arm than you realize, and he is a natural playmaker. We've seen that. So, like, is that enough to go on? No, that's why you got five more games after this, right?
Right.
But, like, I do think, like, this idea of, like, you've at least seen something from Shador. I can't say the same thing for Dylan.
So what I think is really interesting in this conversation is I think he's right in the idea that if you didn't believe in Shador, these two games isn't enough to be like, all of a sudden, I'm a convert. I believe in him. And also, this it works both ways. If you believed in Shador previous to this, you're also not moving off of that at this point either, right? I think all those things are true. What you have learned, though, is he is unequivocally better at football than Dylan Gabriel. And like, for the people that spent months telling us and telling anybody that tried to tell you that Shador was better than Dylan, they're wrong. They're so clearly wrong in that discussion, and that's okay. That's fine. Take the L. But like that's a part that I find really interesting, is that there's just been like, that's not even a true discussion at this point, but for months it was for people.
Yeah, and I'll also say this. I think what we're driving at right now is what's going to make the Stefanski decision, if you're trying to to decide these two things, or distinguish between these two things if you're Jimmy Haslam at the end of the season, or whichever Haslam gets to make the decision. I don't know. You pull a name out of a hat, it's like a white elephant gift. Maybe who gets to decide whether Kevin goes or stays?
No, I want to trade this responsibility for another one. Is that what that one is?
Like, I get to take the quarterback with a number five pick, but you get to fire Stefanski.
I've never done a white elephant. Fun fact about me.
Why not?
I just don't think I've ever really been offered to be in one.
That makes me sad.
It's never come up in my life where anyone's
it's not like a threesome. It's like really hard to find those kind of offers out there some of us.
Surprisingly enough. No, but
I've been in seven of those.
Why are those easier to come across
than white
elephants?
Those were the only swaps I've gotten.
I don't know why. I can't get invited to a white elephant, but these keep popping up. No, Jax was telling me about he's in a white elephant, and he bought this... basically, it looks like a pharaoh, but it's LeBron James's face, and that's like his offering to the white elephant. Basically, yes, but I guess they do them for all sorts of different people. The main thing is, I just tend to think white elephant gifts are just a bunch of crap. Is it not?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But you're trying to get the funniest gift or the one that people would want that's still under the limit. I don't really love them, but I with the right people, I can enjoy them.
You all sit around the circle and then you swap is what you do.
Yeah, I was gonna say
you swap is what you do.
Flying close to the sun there, Peter Lynn.
Why did it get so sexual with white elephants? I don't know.
Don't know. Because it's because of the implication.
It's always the implication.
Now, this being said, when Billy Sue and Bobby Joe and all the Haslams are sitting around Ken Christmas and whatnot, when they're trying to make this decision, on one hand, you're going to look at Kevin Stefanski and say, this jabroni thought Dylan Gabriel was a better prospect than Shador Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? On the other hand, if Kevin actually coaches Shador up to a point where you do see him having more success, more confidence in the pocket, and there's enough of a bridge going forward where you're like, I want to see more of this, you kind of get to give him a little credit of that if you're Billy Joe and Bobby Sue and, you know, this, that, whatnot, Haslam. So I think that's a tough thing to balance. This guy liked Dylan Gabriel more than Shador Sanders and made sure that one was given every opportunity every step along the way. That's a knock against Kevin versus, Kevin, you did see some development there from Shador.
I think because they want Stefanski to be here. I really genuinely do believe. I think they want Stefanski here as long as possible within the realistic possibilities of this conversation. They're going to try to give him the benefit of the doubt. So very much so like myself in the very first opening drive when he throws deep to Jerry Jeudy, I'm like, all right. Stefanski, show me something. Like, I want this to be true, that Stefanski will treat Shador differently, and all of a sudden the best version of Shador will be out there and it'll all materialize. I want that to be true. I will absolve Kevin of his Dylan Gabriel sins if Shador looks good over the final five games, even if I have the understanding that not much of it was really anything that Stefanski did.
Well, but I think that's at the crux of what I think becomes a sticky wicket, is giving Kevin a benefit for a guy he didn't like. And then, by the way, all the other stuff that's happened over the last five plus years.
I've been with you. It's one of the things that's going to bother me the most, but I'm telling you how I felt during that game. I'm like, all right, if he actually treats Shador in the way where Shador can thrive and Shador do something, even if he's just so such a little part of it, but really the reality is that he just was able to set him up the littlest bit in order to succeed and gave him that runway, then okay, fine. I can let a lot slide at the end of the day. Clearly, I can let a lot slide at the end of the day. I need to see results now. I'm in the results business. I need to see results.
Okay, so with that, I think the only way that, to me, Kevin should have any sort of favor, like the Shador situation ends up being a positive on the pros, cons of Kevin Stefanski and keeping him, is if we are a hell of a lot closer to a yes. Meaning, like, you might not be 100% yes on Shador in the future, but you're like a 75% yes. Like, if we're still at the end of the season, if we're still where Albert was, where it's like, if you liked him in the pre-draft process, you still like him. And if you didn't like him, you still don't like him. Nah, I'm sorry. You don't get credit for that.
I'm good with giving him zero credit. Listen, I'm the person that tells you Drake May was with Gerard Mayo and everyone knew getting rid of Gerard Mayo wasn't going to change the trajectory of Drake May. I'll get rid of coaches if I think you're just kind of is what it is. And I've said before, I don't think there's anything special at this point with Kevin Stefanski. For a year and a half now, I haven't thought anything special exists with Stefanski. But this is where he can get the Haslams. I really do think want him to be here. You can win them over. This is your 5-game trial run. Just as much as it is for Shador, this is for you as well, Stefanski.
It is. But I need him to look really, really good.
I know.
I need Shador to see so much progress that I think the only way I can make Shador a NFL starting quarterback and count on him in 2026 is if Kevin Stefanski's the head coach. Because I think the problem is right now, the same thing you can say about Shador through two starts. Yeah, hey, if you loved him previously, you still love him. If you hated him previously, you hate him. Same you can say about Kevin Stefanski. Like, I don't have a lot of things to defend Kevin Stefanski on. I need a clear and concise win, whether that's actual wins or with Shador, at the end of the season for me to be like, okay, I kind of see where you're going.
So I disagree with that. I feel like people that were even still trying to be on board with Stefanski in the past couple games, this last game, I thought, there's been a couple times this year where I've been like, I've never seen it worse for Stefanski as far as the public approval. This was as bad as it gets. I mean, Fan is out there acting as if he never even stumped for the man 3 months ago.
Well, that's kind of the Fan is trying to flip flop.
Trying to disassociate himself from the whole entire experience. At one point, I wanted to be like, this is the guy you went to bat for over Stephen Vogt. Just remember that.
Fanta also might want like Stefanski to be the next Ignatius head coach, though.
The way he's coaching, who knows where this thing goes?
Guys, Hugh Jackson's available, baby. I got run out of Grambling. I think he was at Georgia State. I think you got run out of there. Oh, Mac, like you're above Hugh Jackson as Ignatius head coach.
You skirted at Hugh Jackson?
Why? Show your work.
You guys actually share a thing in common. You guys both love Chipotle.
I mean, that's a lot of people, though.
No. But, like every day Chipotle was Hugh Jackson. That was a Hugh Jackson everyday order for him, and I feel like you also come close to that.
Broken clock is right twice a day. But no, for Ignatius' program, absolutely not. Absolutely.
Why? What do you mean absolutely
not? He's a former
not.
NFL head coach. What are you talking about?
We've had former NFL head coaches or NFL coaches on our staff. Okay.
Have they been the head coach?
No, because we had a legendary head coach the entire time.
But you haven't tried this.
You're above Hugh Jackson?
Yes.
At high school?
Sure.
A professional coach?
Yes.
We can only sound it out so many times.
I'm just trying to find different ways to get logic through it.
I like that he's got a thought on it. Hugh Jackson's here, baby.
What's like the professional coach that's failed in Cleveland? Are you a Pettine guy? You want Pettine? You know,
sure,
Pettine
I'll take Pettine. I'll take Mike Pettine over Hugh Jackson.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Show your work.
The guy actually can develop somebody. Can actually develop players. I actually want that dude for the locker room. I don't want Hugh Jackson anywhere near that group.
He's worried about the locker room culture in high school football.
Yes. I'm worried about Hugh Jackson affecting the kids.
He's gonna get all the Iggy kids to jump in Lake Erie. You worried about somebody getting pneumonia?
Worried he's gonna lose the press conference for the senior paper? What are we doing?
He definitely would.
I don't even know where to go, Mac.
It actually is funny if Stefanski coached a high school team, and then in the yearbook, it was like, we got to be better.
Trust me on this. 216-474-0092. Ignatius Faithful, would you take Hugh Jackson as your head coach? The Peterlin Pass in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have also claimed Adam Thielen off waivers from the Minnesota Vikings. So Adam Thielen to the Pittsburgh Steelers, Darius Slay to not the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Didn't he leave Carolina being like, I want to play in important games and big time games?
Yeah, and then he decided, I want to play in less important games. I just want to compete.
But then he goes to Minnesota, and then Carolina starts competing now and playing in good games, and he is now has to go and get on Pittsburgh. Okay.
In fairness, Minnesota is straight cheeks. I mean, J.J. McCarthy, that dude.
What's funny is everyone told us, and it was obvious to see that it was going to happen. That we knew there'd be some regression there, not the J.J. McCarthy side of things, but the idea that they weren't going to win 14 games this year.
Yeah,
and this has worked. It's looked 10 times worse. Our guy Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is being dragged throughout these streets right now. KOC's good name is being tarnished. It has been a bloodbath in Minnesota.
You know what they need? Mac Jones. That's exactly what they need. That'll solve it,
and they might get it.
They might get it. They would have had the double Joneses. They would have had Daniel Jones last year, Mac Jones this next year. You can only find a third Jones. And you just call the quarterback room Jonesin. Right?
Yeah, I like your continuity with quarterback rooms. You got your tiny guy quarterback
short
room,
kings.
Your short king, your quarterback room, and then the Jones room.
Ah, Dylan Gabriel approved.
You could have
He's a tiny little guy.
You could have the Wilson quarterback room.
Let's see, Russell Wilson. The other Wilsons?
Nick, you'd be in it now.
No, nobody wants that. I don't want that.
You don't want that?
No.
There's another Wilson quarterback I couldn't think of in the top of my head.
Zach,
there we go. Thank you. I was like, I knew we did this bit at some point.
So again, I like a patterned quarterback room.
Yeah.
I would like the Browns to try a theme where all their quarterbacks don't suck.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure Shador doesn't suck. Dylan, I don't know. Deshaun.
Was the Tyrod Taylor Baker Mayfield quarterback room as close as we're going to get to that?
I mean, Baker Case Keenum was pretty okay. Trying to think here. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. A lot of RG3s and Josh McCowns there. Future Browns head coach Josh McCown. Tell me you don't want it.
The McCown family just searching for jobs out there on Twitter, huh?
Yeah, but not Luke. He's
the volume tweeter.
I'm solely a Josh McCown.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, it's fine.
Name's Luke. No, I'm kidding. Let's get to Peterlin Pass.
There's only one man with the knowledge to criticize and the power to let it slide. It's time for this week's Peterlin Pass.
All right, it's going to go to Abdul Carter this week. Not for his play. His play continues to stink. Not really for him being benched for the second time in 3 weeks. That continues to be an absolute no-no that you can't do. It's Abdul Carter for posting on the internet and then deleting it, by the way. This is where you need to stay true, Abdul, that the fake tweet about him was in fact a fake tweet. 20 million impressions on this one versus the real report, which had around 500K. So you're like, well, all right, so what is that report that got 20 million impressions? Well, yesterday, before the game got underway, a fake Twitter account said Giants defensive end Abdul Carter will miss the first drive tonight for disciplinary reasons after getting caught watching porn in a team meeting when his headphones disconnected. Everyone ran with it. It seemed incredibly plausible that this would be something that somebody would get disciplined a first drive for, and then he happened to also then get disciplined for the first drive. But I give him the Peterlin Pass because you get to clear up your name in this instance. That's not something you want people to remember you, make jokes about, or even have something that is even closely associated with yourself.
So you're just going to believe a guy?
No. If I'm Abdul Carter, that's what I'm saying. Don't believe a guy. Like, if I'm Abdul Carter, I go on the attack. Like, so, for instance, he had a chance in the post game, and I don't even know if he was aware of the tweet at this point. I would hope he was, but this was him just kind of hanging back and not really defending himself.
The second time in 3 weeks, he didn't start. What happened?
Happens.
What happened?
I ain't gonna get into detail. Like I said, it happened.
Why, Abdul? Like, for
asking the same question, I just answered.
You can tell he's bothered, but you can also tell the reporters are trying to figure out in that moment, like, wait, was it the porn thing? Was it not the porn thing? What exactly is happening here? And then the obvious response then the day later on Monday today, or excuse me, on Tuesday in the morning, talking about the idea that it was not porn related.
Yeah, the problem with it is, though, even if once this report is out there, you can say it as much as you want. No one's going to believe you. It's a 22-year-old kid. Got no worries in the planet other than, hey, I'm gonna watch some tape. I'm sorry, the problem is we're gonna get you on allegations of being 22-year-old, and 22-year-olds, high motor, right?
Wait, it was during a team meeting, though. The report says in a team meeting. For a guy
you
that's
struggling. You
tell
me no one's ever watched porn during a team meeting?
If you're Miles Garrett, watch all the porn you want, okay? You know?
Just pull up
the OnlyFans. You do whatever you need to do, okay?
He's been waiting
you
for
you want to take a nap in those meetings? You do whatever you need to do, okay? But Abdul Carter being the number...
So you have to earn the ability to ignore team meetings by watching porn?
Top five pick with all of collectively a half of a sack on the season? I think you need to earn those rights a little bit.
Easy.
I think it makes a lot of Giants fans incredibly angry that one of their top draft choices is out here just completely ignoring team meetings to watch porn.
Yeah, but if you're gonna
That's pretty bad.
If you're gonna ignore it for anything, it's that, right? I'm horny.
No, this is why he gets the Peter One pass.
You have to
dispel this notion.
Miles,
when you're a bust 3 years from now, it can't be people being like, yeah, but you remember when he got caught watching porn in the team meeting? It never had a chance. I'm not going down that way.
Like, Miles fell asleep too late because he was watching anime and was late for a meeting. You can't be my edge rusher. A fella just was in the meeting. Again, watch it. He's grinding the tape. He is grinding the tape.
Literally grinding. Now, what do you think is more plausible? Miles watching porn in a meeting or anime in a meeting? You know that answer.
It's anime.
You know that answer.
Yeah. Again, I just think...
It can still
I think the problem is, again, I'll just go back
taking,
to base.
We're taking an edge rusher to a new meeting, aren't
we? I'm going to go back to... The square one on this. The problem with this is Abdul Carter can come out and be like, I didn't watch no porn. And we'd be like, yeah, you did.
No, that's what he did. And then he deleted it. It's like, why'd you delete that? Why all of a sudden?
Because he knew it was a lie.
You don't want to go on the defense of this?
Yeah.
You need to go on the defense of this.
I think
it was a fake account, by the way. It's 100% a fake account.
I think it is. Wesley Steinberg, that guy gets a lot of people. The problem
is it's a lawyer in California is the profile pic.
Yeah, the problem is can't beat those allegations. Doesn't matter who you are. Any 22-year-old. Give me any 22-year-old in the Cleveland Browns. You tweet the same. Some random guy tweets the same thing, and I'm going to be like, I get it. He's 22. What else are you going to do?
Oh, if Mason Graham was playing awful, and then it came out that this happened to Mason Graham, you would be livid.
I'd want to know what he was watching.
That should be part of the disclosure?
Yes. Yeah.
What are you into?
Yeah. Yep.
You a front guy? You a back guy? You tell me.
Are you satiated?
The young kids like the young kids like the behind. they're back guys.
How would you know?
Jax tells me.
What? By the way, that is the dirtiest pool.
What do you mean?
Of anybody on this station?
You said his whole generation.
You backed yourself into a corner.
That's what they are.
And you throw Jax, who's not here to defend
himself. I'm more of a traditional person myself. I just assumed everyone was that way.
You are a different color of red right now.
No,
anybody on the 92.3 The Fan
thing.
YouTube channel?
Not red at all.
You are.
That's the only spot
Mac
where this
red.
Generation loses me. Is the only spot there. They're all back guys. I don't understand it.
Might just be the orange shirt, but yeah, it is looking a different shade over there.
Looking awfully tomato-y right now.
That's got to be the orange shirt.
Yeah.
Because I feel...
What do you got over on the computer over there?
I feel good.
Get a
little
Johnny,
I want it bad.
Johnny backside over there?
Microsoft Word. That's what I've got, okay?
Oh... One of his eruption
The Peterlin Pass.
Once JP gets on Word, there's no stopping my boy. The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.